That was Guns of Brixton by The Clash. Welcome back. It's a new year for Cualquier Música. And I was thinking this semester we could shake things up a little bit. I wanted to be a bit more intentional about my different shows. And so I think I'm going to do a different theme every week. And today's theme, introduced by that lovely song by The Clash, is post-punk. So this is my first time doing this, so we'll see exactly how it goes in terms of balancing a bit of discussion with a bit of music. So post-punk is a genre that kind of was birthed at the tail end of the punk movement. Some music journalists would say it started around 1978. And it can be loosely defined as a music genre that was originally outlined by musician John Savage in his editorial for Sounds magazine in the 77th year. He said that the term had been noted for lacking a universally agreed upon definition, but most post-punk musicians departed from punk's fundamental elements and raw simplicity, adopting instead a broader, more experimental approach, incorporated a variety of avant-garde sensibilities and non-rock influences. Inspired by punk's energy and do-it-yourself ethic, but determined to move beyond rock cliches, artists drew influence from German krautrock and experimented with styles such as funk, electronic music, jazz, and dance music. So at its core, here we have a bit of a genre that was a derivative of punk rock, but it kind of brought up the question of how we can actually define genre, as these terms like post-punk, punk, new wave, are usually terms that were defined after the fact, after the genre. So it's not even something necessarily that the musicians were aware of or necessarily intentional about during the time of making the music. One thing that I thought of was, I think that there's been a lot of discussion about like an indie sleaze revival, but how at the time, like the concept indie sleaze wasn't a thing. And so usually these genres and the way that, you know, we define a decade usually comes in a retrospective manner after the fact. But yeah, anyways, to introduce this this genre, the first song is going to be Damaged Goods by A Gang of Four. This is a song that I only discovered about a few weeks ago. It's a Leeds-based band, one of the fathers of the post-punk movement. They have named themselves after a faction of the Chinese Communist Party officials, but were much a piece of movement politics as they were a band. So we'll play the song and then have a bit of discussion afterwards. I hope you enjoy it.
You know the change will do you good. You know the change will do you good.
that was Damaged Goods by Gang of Four. That was actually the band's debut single. And it ended up being a number one indie chart hit. On the John Peel Show, it was voted one of the 100 greatest debut singles in the 2020s Rolling Stone poll. So now I think I want to talk a little bit about the historical context going into post-punk. So this movement really was born on the eve of Thatcherism, when Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher ended, you know, a long streak in the 70s of a labor-led government. This also saw the end of a steady economic growth that Britain experienced really since the Second World War. And so Britain began to experience a lot of political polarization, social fragmentation, much like today. And that's another theme that I want to talk about that we'll see in some of the later songs. Unemployment rates started to rise. There's lots of political polarization. And I think it's interesting to think about because, especially today, at least for me, it's easy to think about genres and cultural movements as kind of very definitive things, whereas today in the 2020s, it's easy to, I don't know, to be kind of defeatist about, like, there's no good music anymore and no one dances and everyone's on their phones. But I think it's kind of refreshing to see that even in these periods, artists felt the same way. A lot of artists felt like, you know, in the 80s, a lot of good music isn't happening anymore. Lots of shops are closing down. The economy's going down. And so in some of the later songs that we'll discuss, we see that persist. So with that said, I wanted to introduce the song Making Plans for Nigel. I believe I've played the song before. It is a song by rock band XTC, and it was released by Virgin Records as the lead single from their 1979 album Drums and Wires, written by Colin Moulding, the band's bassist. So the lyrics are told from the point of view of overbearing parents who are certain that their son Nigel is happy in this world and affirming that his future is to be spent working for the British Steel. At this time, I did a little bit of research and found out the industry of the British Steel was renationalized in 1967 under the Labour government. But by the time Thatcher had came around, we saw outdated technology, government price controls, higher oil costs. And so ultimately that stability, you know, that was found in these sorts of working class jobs was no longer there. And since the British Steel was a major employer in depressed regions, it was decided to keep many mills, despite them facilitating as a loss. Anyways, that's a little bit of information. Without further ado, this is Making Plans for Nigel. I do think it's an anthem for people who don't know what they're doing with their lives. And when I did some research, I actually found out that the unemployment rates for youth under 25 at this time were about 12.5%, which is very high. And then I looked up the statistics for today, and it's about 15% for under 25-year-olds, which is kind of horrific when you think about it. I did not realize, you know, it's easy to talk about, oh, the job market shit, but it really is shit. So it'd be interesting to see what anthems we'll get now about being unemployed. But yeah, this is Making Plans for Nigel. Enjoy.
Nigel's hope you must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy in his world.
That was Making Plans for Nigel by XTC. All of these songs are in chronological order, by the way, in terms of the release date. So for this next song, we have a song by Joy Division. It's called Transmission. It was released on 7-inch vinyl on the 7th of October, 1979. The single charted twice in New Zealand, debuting at number 2. In 1981 and reappearing again at number 24 in 84. So Sumner and Hook are the band members of Joy Division, two of them. And this band was formed after attending a Sex Pistols concert. So you really see kind of the influence of musicians on each other in forming these new genres. There's actually a movie that I watched called 24 Hour Party People that is about the leader of an independent label called Factory Records. His name was Tony Wilson, and he's kind of the one that signed on the major musicians from this moment, a lot of whom came out of the Manchester area. So yeah, I really recommend that film. It's a great film. Without further ado, this is Transmission by Joy Division, and next up we have a special caller who's going to introduce the following song.
We'll be right back.
That was Transmission by Joy Division. Very groovy song. Alright, now next up, I'm very excited to introduce, we have a special guest. Her name is Mia, and she's going to introduce this next song that she picked. Let's see if this works. I hope it does.
Hello, hello. My name is Mia. I'm from London, born and raised. And when Cammy said that she was doing a section on her show on post-punk, I was very excited because I've kind of recently discovered the genre and I've just been absolutely loving it. I discovered it through the song Age of Consent by New Order, and it very quickly became one of my favourite songs of all time, which I'll be playing for you and for Cammy now. But just quickly, in case you're one of the very few that didn't know, I just found out embarrassingly that New Order is actually the same band as Joy Division. So, well, not exactly the same, but Joy Division lost its lead member, Ian Curtis. And just not even a year later, the band reformed as New Order with a new member, a female member, Gillian Gilbert. And yeah, I'm pretty embarrassed to admit that I just found that out. But yeah, in order to kind of stray away from the Joy Division sound, they wanted to create something new and kind of create a new era for the band. They experimented with a lot of technology and used a lot of electronic sounds, and so kind of making this new iconic New Order style where it was a mesh of classic post-punk and more new wave synth-pop sounds. And so Age of Consent is an example of this. It's just, for me, the best energy in a song maybe ever, and I absolutely love it, and I hope you all do too. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That was Age of Consent by New Order. Thank you so much to Mia for that lovely introduction of a beautiful song. We will have another guest caller coming in at the end of the episode, so stay tuned. Now, next up, we have one of my favorite songs. It is a song by The Cure off their album 17 Seconds, which is their second studio album, released on the 18th of April, 1980 by Friction Records. The album marked the first time the frontman Robert Smith co-produced with Mike Hedges after the departure of the original bassist Michael Dempsey, because there was a bit of tension, a bit of beef there. Early versions of the songs Play for Today and M had been performed, but Dempsey didn't really like the new direction that Smith wanted to take the band in. There's a comment that I thought was quite funny. Smith said, "I think the final straw came when Michael played the demos for the next album, and he hated them. He wanted us to be XTC, which, you know, from the song we just played. And if anything, he said XTC, and I wanted to be the next Banshees Part 2. Making plans for Nigel. Sorry, I blanked on that song. But yeah, this is a lovely song. It's very upbeat and cool, and I hope you enjoy it. that was A Forest by The Cure. Next up, we have a song called Ghost Town by The Specials. I've always been a fan of this song. It always had quite a Halloween vibe to me. But I listened to it again quite recently. I'd watched the movie Snatch by Guy Ritchie, which has an excellent score. One of my favorite scores of a movie of all time, I think. But yeah, it was really cool because when I was doing the research for this genre, I encountered that Ghost Town was considered a very political song, and I hadn't even listened to lyrics. But yeah, this is a song by the band The Specials. It was released in 1981. The song spent 3 weeks at number one and 11 weeks in the total of top 40 of UK singles chart. Released almost 40 years ago, Ghost Town was considered to be a protest song, a bitter commentary on Thatcher's England. Yeah, its lyrics are very despair-laden, and they reflect a very depressing time, a country in deep recession, and we see the decimation of towns and cities like Coventry, where the Specials hailed from. The song caught the mood of that summer, a summer which witnessed levels of civil unrest that hadn't been seen in a generation. Yeah, again, very reminiscent of what's going on today, especially in the United States. Yeah, basically when they were touring for the group, apparently the group was kind of caught up in a fraught experience where they're already tired from a long touring schedule. But on top of that, the gigs would always descend into violence as they traveled, partially because of increased polarization. Apparently the post-punk or even the punk movement was kind of split between more leftist core and a more fascist core. And yeah, during these kind of gigs, a lot of people would start fighting, and then the shows would get shut down, and so it just was quite a gritty, dark time in the nation, and kind of all over the world. Anyways, what you get out of that is a very funky song, but one that I very much enjoy. So without further ado, this is Ghost Town.
Thank you.
Spooky. I recommend watching the music video. It's very, very good. That was Ghost Town by The Specials. Next up, we have a song called A Town Called Malice by The Jam. This was a quote that stood out to me by the writer of this song. He said, in 1982 on French television, there is no real energy in music anymore. There's nothing happening in England. People are getting very apathetic again. Which kind of pointing on what I was talking about earlier, kind of was a bit of a shock to me, because in retrospect, you can see there was actually a lot going on at the moment. But it reminds me a lot of kind of this pessimistic attitude that we have towards, you know, the cultural and musical movements of our own time. And sometimes without hindsight, we can't really see what's actually going on. Although I can't really speak to the part about being apathetic. I'm sure that was a product of, you know, the social and political environment at the time. But anyways, the title of this song, A Town Called Malice, is a pun on Neville Shute's 1950 novel, A Town Like Alice, which concerns a couple who moved from post-war England to Australia, although Weller later claimed he'd never read it. Instead, his lyrics reflect the social upheaval that had blighted the UK in the summer of 1981. As we saw, the country was 3 years into Thatcher's prime ministership, the recession had started to bite, key industries were beginning to be closed down, and unemployment passed the 2.5 million mark for the first time in 50 years. What's more is, in April, riots broke out in Brixton over the police heavy-handed attitude towards black youths, and similar disturbances sprang up across the country. Against this backdrop, the establishment celebrated the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer, and the privatization of some of the country's key assets began, including selling off the British Telecom. So it's interesting, this post-punk movement really comes in contrast with the more mainstream culture, you know, moments that we see with Madonna, ABBA, Star Wars, synth pop. There's always kind of those two things at play, which is an interesting thing, especially in context of today. I feel like I'm less versed with more underground alternative punk bands today. You know, I mean, in terms of rock, I think of Fontaine's DC, Wet Leg, but it's definitely something I'd like to look in more. As I said before, I think sometimes you can kind of get caught up in the moment and this nostalgic reverie and forget that there is always a lot of good music, especially when times are bleak. So without further ado, this is A Town Called Malice. Even though the lyrics are very bleak, it has an upbeat tune, so I hope you enjoy.
Time is short and life is cool, but I'm
That was A Town Called Malice by The Jam. Next up, I would like to introduce another guest to the show. This is my good friend Everett from high school, and we found out yesterday, we created a Spotify jam, that we have 98% shared taste on Spotify, which is quite impressive. Anyways, here is a message from Everett. I hope this works.
Hello, radio listeners. Let's all give it up for our wonderful host. She's doing a great job and breathing some life into these radio waves in a way that no one else is doing it, so thank you very much. But I found this song candidly yesterday when I was searching around on Spotify for post-punk music, and it just came on, and I was gripped by the initial synths, and then the voice of the singer's voice reminded me a lot of Lady Gaga, so that was trippy for me and very fun. And I've since consulted my greatest Lady Gaga fans, and we've agreed that it sounds like applause. So that's something to chew on. And I was just reading up on this band's Wikipedia, and apparently they formed in boarding school. They're a French band, but they sang English lyrics because the lead singer's father forbade him from pursuing music. So he was like, oh, okay. If we sing some English stuff, he's not going to recognize it, which I think is pretty cool and kind of falls into probably a lot of the themes of like what post-punk is. But that leads me to some of my questions for our wonderful host. I'm curious if you think there's a post-punk and what that music is and what it means to be like a post-genre or a post-genre genre. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Everett, for those kind words. Yeah, to that question, I think that's a good question. I think even just the idea of categorizing genres feels a bit wish-washy, but a bit ambiguous in that, like, every genre in one way or another is the post of another genre. But yeah, I did some research, and apparently during the 2000s, several New York bands incorporated a lot of post-punk influences into contemporary indie rock. So I guess that's the legacy of that we see. But yeah, I'm very excited to listen to your song. This is Inside Out by Martin Dupont.
I'm dreaming of a world where I'll die in you a long time ago.
That was Inside Out by Martin Dupont. Thank you very much, Everett, for that recommendation. Very cool song. All right, so we're coming to the end of the show. I'm going to play one more song. But I'd like to thank all of my listeners and those who introduce songs. Thank you, Mia, also for giving me the idea of making a show about post-punk. I am going to make some tweaks and figure out how to make things more interesting for next week. Next week, I don't think it'll be a genre, but more a theme. I think it's going to be love. So if you have any stories about love that you'd like to share on the radio, please do. I'll see you guys next week. Next up, just to close this out, I'm going to play Let's Go to Bed by The Cure. And I would like to wish a happy 60th birthday to my mom. Big 6-0. Love you, mama. We'll be right back.